many things about tomorrow I don't need to understand as long as I know who holds my hand. That's a great song. John chapter 12. John chapter 12 today. John chapter 12. We will begin reading in verse 20. John chapter 12 and verse 20. And we will, as soon as you get there, when the rustling of the leaves stops, that's when we start, okay? Verse 20, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. This is the Passover. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified, when he's speaking about going to the cross. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Because he already knew, he and the Father are one, he knew the thoughts of God. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. It was all about the cross. It was all about his purpose coming into this world. He came to die for sinners. He came to take our place. That is the gospel. That is the good news in the Bible that we find, whether it's prophetically or historically. And it's just such a blessing. I want to direct your attention to verse 21, the last part of that verse. The Greeks came to Philip and they said, Sirs, we would see Jesus. That's what they wanted. They had heard about the Christ. They had heard about the Messiah. They had heard about Jesus. And they wanted to see him. Good thing. Amen? It's a good thing if you want that. But let's pray and ask God to bless his word. Father, thank you. Thank you that we know our Lord Jesus Christ. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know that. We know about our salvation. We trust the word of God. And I pray today that you would speak to each heart. May we truly see Jesus in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a book written, it was some time ago, but it was entitled The Jesus I Never Knew. And there's a lot of books like that. This is a good book. It has a good perspective. But a lot of people tell you who Jesus is. They tell you he's this, he's this. There's some that believe he's so hard and cruel. There's some that believe he's so weak and just doesn't do anything, just doesn't require anything. And then there's the Jesus of the Bible. Amen? And that's the one I want to know. Religion can teach you a lot of things, but only God can teach you some things. I think it's a blessing that we know who he is. I want to want God. I desire to desire God. Amen? That's a good desire. We want to see Jesus. There's some motive behind that. Just to go through the motions, just to have duty. What was it in Ecclesiastes? We come to the end of the book of Ecclesiastes and Solomon says, let's hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. And that is true. We are to live for God, whether we want to or not, right? God says, don't rob that bank. We say, well, I need the money. I'm going to go rob the bank. No, don't rob the bank. Amen. So there's things we want to do, I hope you don't want to rob a bank today, but there's things we don't want to do that God says to do. It's good for us. And there's things we want to do, he says, don't do that. So we listen to God because of duty. But desire, boy, that's a blessing. That is a blessing when you desire to see Jesus. Desire is an emotion or excitement of the mind. Excitement. Church should be exciting even when you have a dull speaker. It can still be exciting because you have the Bible and you're hearing about God. Amen? The songs. Well, I've sung that song a zillion times. I could sing it with my eyes closed. Then close your eyes and sing it. Amen? But just sing for the glory of God. There ought to be an excitement about prayer, an excitement about the Lord's Supper, an excitement about just opening the Bible, just devotion, just prayer, anything. I think that's a no-brainer. Amen? Because God tells us to do that. That's the little chorus we sang. I will enter into his gates with thanksgiving. I'll rejoice because this is the day the Lord hath made. 1 Thessalonians 2:17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, Paul is saying, I'm absent from there, but I'm writing you a letter. He says, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Sometimes you're going to go see somebody and you can't wait to get there. Amen? Or somebody's coming to your house and you can't wait to get there. So it's going to be a blessing to see each other. Probably you might be able to identify with this. You're driving on 94. You look in the mirror. There's a police officer behind you. You happen to look down at how fast you're going. It's 85. There's some excitement there. Amen? Not the same kind of excitement we're talking about, though. A desire, an excitement to see somebody. Shouldn't there be an excitement to see the Lord? Amen? And we can't with the physical eye, but we certainly can with the eye of faith. According to your faith, be it unto you. God, open our eyes that we might see. Not physical eyes, but spiritual eyes. And when we see the Lord high and lifted up, it has an effect on us. Psalm 42:1. As the heart, the deer, panteth, longs for, desires the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. That sounds to me exciting. That sounds to me filled with desire, filled with anticipation. Amen? It's not just, oh, I wonder what he's got for me today. No, it's like, I wonder what he's got for me today. You have Jeremiah 29:13. And ye shall seek me, God says, and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. So we would see Jesus. That is not a physical experience for us like it would have been for the Greeks. That is a spiritual experience for us. The just shall live by faith. We walk by sight. We walk not by sight, but we walk by faith. So this is a spiritual thing. Last week we talked about the spiritual battle. I think when we want to see God, he wants us to see him. He's not going to hide from people who want to see him. Amen? So everything goes back to the heart. Everything goes back to the desire. We have in 2 Chronicles 15:15, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him, God, with their whole desire, and he was found of them. And the Lord gave them rest round about. They sought him with their whole desire. Again, we've given you the definition for desire. It's you want something. There's an excitement for it. Amen? And because of that, there was a sacrifice they performed. If you read back in 2 Chronicles 15, 700 oxen, 7,000 sheep. That was their offering to the Lord. Sounds like a pretty good offering. Amen? And we're not talking about a physical offering now. We're talking about they first gave their own selves to the Lord, 2 Corinthians 8. They gave them their lives. They gave their hearts. We find in the Bible about the disciples, they were addicted to the gospel. So this is a great sacrifice, and we sacrifice for God because we want to see him. We want to know him. And when we are in communion with him, the sacrifice seems so small. 1 Peter 2:2, these are familiar verses. As newborn babes, let's see, what's that next word? Desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We grow closer to him. Amen. It's all because of our desire in the word of God. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. There's a lot of verses that have to do with that, and it's a blessing. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. You know what that means, right? The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all of those wonderful things. Well, I want the love. I don't want the peace and the joy. You want it all. Amen? You want it filled. And God says, you can be filled. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. So we sing with our hearts to the Lord. Here's some verses. Psalm 71:8. Let thy mouth be filled with praise. And how does that happen? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So you keep going back. Why don't I sing with praise? You go back because if you desire it, God will put that desire in your heart too. 2 Timothy 1:4, greatly desiring to see thee that I may be filled with joy. Acts 13:52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. We would see Jesus. When I come to church or when I open my Bible, I want to see him. I want to hear him. I want to experience something spiritual, not something physical. I want to experience something physical where I know God is speaking to me or helping me or the comfort of the scriptures, all of those things. And he wants to give that to me. We would see Jesus, and Jesus wants to be seen. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. We find Jesus in the Bible. Goes without saying. Amen? Where are you going to find the Lord? You're going to find him in the Word of God. The Bible says in John 5:39, Jesus said this, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but these are they which testify of me. You want to see me, you want to hear me, you want to experience me. The Bible's the living Word. It's alive. It works in our hearts. You find Jesus in the Bible. If you neglect the Bible, you're neglecting that time with the Lord. You don't have to, you know, sit down and read for 3 hours a day, 4 hours a day. I mean, if you can, not bad. But memorize it. Put the word in your heart so you can recall it. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is called the Word of God. He's called that. So we have the written word and we have the living word. And they are the same. Amen? This says the same thing that the living word would say if he was here in our presence today. He gives us his word. That's about a blessing. In the beginning was the word. We find Jesus in church. You're supposed to find him here. Amen? There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. That's the Spirit of the Lord. It must be the Spirit of the Lord. When you come to church, you don't want to find a bad spirit. You don't want to find, right? You want to find the Lord. You want to walk through those doors. This is a good place to be. So, we're expected to find the Lord in church. Ephesians 3:21, unto him be glory in the church. In Sturgis, we had one fellow in our church that was very talented, and we had kind of a fan-shaped auditorium, and over the back where the pulpit was, he made, because I preached on this, and he made a thing out of metal. It was a big bar, iron bar, and it was bent. And under that, he said, unto him be glory in the church. And they mounted that up behind the pulpit because that's what this is all about. Jesus is talking about the Father glorifying him. Amen? At this, the Lord's Supper today, it brings glory to God because we think about that. We remember it. It's something that we desire to remember. We find Jesus in the church. He's head over all things to the church, Ephesians 1:22. Here's another place we find Jesus, in the lives of other believers. Amen? When they see you, they see the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Sometimes, I think Paul said to to the Thessalonians, I think I have this right, but he talked about them being a living Bible, a living Word of God. When they see you, they're going to see the Scriptures and they're going to see me. We have in the Bible, John chapter 9, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He's the light of the world. In Matthew 5:14, he says, ye are the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. We accept Christ as our Savior. Ye are the light of the world. Verse 16 of the same chapter, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what this is all about. I don't want people to see the devil in me. Amen. I want people to see the Lord in me. I don't want them to see something obstinate. I want them to see something humble, not proud, not argumentative, not fighting against anything, just loving God. Amen. Soft answer turneth away wrath. You know all the verses. That shows somebody the Lord in us. We're not critical. You know the list, right? We want people to see Jesus in us. We want to be good neighbors. We want to be even loving our enemies. All of those things, they're so, so important. There was a friend of mine. I think he's still a friend of mine. And when we were in Florida, we were camp counselors together, Christian camp. And there was an older gentleman, and he was speaking at the camp. But he called my friend, who is now a preacher too, and he said, Johnny, did you have breakfast with Jesus today? And we laughed about that a lot. And what he meant was, did you have some time with the Lord? Did you have some time, some special time with the Lord? Did you have breakfast with Jesus today? Did you have breakfast with Jesus today? Well, if you haven't, have lunch with him. Amen? Or dinner or something. Acts 4:13, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. The disciples, they were bold. They were living for the Lord. And people knew it. People knew that they were Christians. That's such a blessing. A desire for God is catchy. If you're with the right people, Peter was with the disciples, and he said to the Lord, though all men forsake you, I'll never forsake you. I'll die for you. I'll go to prison for you. But then when he was removed and now he's by the enemy's campfire, remember, I know not the man. The crowd dictated something to him. We are iron sharpening iron. We are to encourage one another. When one of us gets excited, another one gets excited. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But the opposite is true. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. There's a verse in the Bible that says, I wish Richard was here because he could help me here. Go from the presence of an angry man, lest thou learn his ways and thou become like him. Amen? If you lie down with the dogs, you'll rise up with the fleas. Amen? So the crowd can dictate that. Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. You can be spoiled. You can be corrupted by that. Exodus 23:2, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. It does depend on who you run with. Luke chapter 2, if you want to turn there, Luke chapter 2. I want to read some verses there. Mary and Joseph are on their way to the Passover, and Jesus is with them, and he's 12 years old. And we're going to begin reading just a few verses, verse 41 of Luke chapter 2. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. They're on their way back home. Jesus is still in Jerusalem. A little later on in the chapter, he's teaching the teachers. But they didn't know that he wasn't with them. with him. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsmen and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. That's a no-brainer. Amen? I don't know if you've ever been at Myers with your 12-year-old. You went home. Finally, the next day, I wonder where they're at. You know, probably left them at Myers. And so you go back a day later. Well, it was a different setup back then. But they didn't know that his presence wasn't with them. But when they knew it, they wanted to take care of that. Amen? They wanted to go find him again. Isn't that the way it is with the Lord? If you lose his presence in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit. There's an Old Testament story about a man, and he's chopping down trees. And his axe head falls off and falls in the water. And he comes back to the prophet and he says, "Alas, master, it was borrowed and it's gone. My axe head, it's lost." And the prophet said something profound. He said, "Where'd you lose it?" Isn't that deep? Well, the axe head was deep. But anyway, isn't that deep? Here he is, he's chopping, and the axe head falls off. Well, stop chopping. I mean, you can't chop a tree down with a handle. Amen? So he goes back and he says, "I've lost the axe head." Here's another deep, deep truth. Where did you lose it? Were you ever excited about God? Were you ever serving? And it was just, man, I desire. Remember new convert salvation? Man, teach me something. Use me. Bless me. Help me. It was just all filled up in your heart. Well, I don't have that anymore. Where did you lose it? Amen? You find out where the axe head went off. You find out where you left Jesus behind. And you go and you pick it up again. His presence, his spirit, his power. Because that's how he wants us to live. Excited. That's how he wants us to serve him. Loving him, desiring him. I think that's an important thing. Don't lose sight of Jesus. If you do, go looking for him. You have a desire to find him. Turn with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Boy, what a story here. I want you to follow along and read this. This is really good. This is about the maniac of Gadara. Couldn't be in worse shape. A man couldn't be in worse shape than this man was in. Verse 1. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come up out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him." Similar principle, James chapter 3. Tongue is a fire, set on fire of hell, and no man can tame it. Only God can. It says, "And always night and day was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.'" Don't, I know it's a lot of verses, but try and stay focused on it. "For he said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.' And he asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.'" He was filled with devils. Little later on here, we'll read the verse. That was 2,000 devils in that man. "And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, 'Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them.' And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. This is big news. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Wow. This maniac had run screaming in the tombs. They tried to, what a terrible thing in your own town or your own city. And they would bind him with chains and he would break them. He would hurt himself. He would scream. Everybody was afraid of him. And now he's sitting clothed and in his right mind. Hip, hip, hooray. Amen? That's a miracle. Boy, what a blessing that is. Look at the next verse. And they saw it. They that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. You know why? They wanted the swine rather than the Savior. They didn't care about the miracle to that one man, that crazy man. Who's got any time for him anyway? Look at all the damage he's caused in our town. Look at how our children are afraid of him. Look how he's hurt the family. They didn't care about him. They just wanted the swine. We've lost our living. We've lost 2,000 swine. Do you realize how much money that is? That's a lot of money. Hey, get out of here. We don't want that to happen again. Look, he chose that for himself. That's the life he's living. Too bad for him. I'd be rejoicing. Wouldn't you be rejoicing? Amen? Yeah, but they hurt me in the past. Forget the past. Look at us. But for the grace of God, there we go. Amen? This isn't about what I've accomplished. This is about what God did in me. And so he wants to follow the Lord. He says, I'll go wherever you want to go. This is a new life. This is exciting. And the Lord says, go back and tell your family what great things the Lord has done for you. Okay, Lord, whatever you say, you've given me new life. But for the grace of God, where would we be today? Well, I'm this and I'm that. But for the grace of God. That's salvation. That's what God has done in our life. Amen? We owe him everything. We certainly owe him our heart. We certainly owe him faithfulness and excitement and praise because he's done all that for us. Amen? He's so precious. They began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. Losing sight of Jesus in the midst of religious activity sometimes is as bad as this story we just read. Sometimes it's worse because you don't know anything's wrong. The maniac knew something was wrong. Sometimes when it's just dull, well, look, I'm in church. Look, I do this, I do that. It's just mundane. Sometimes that's worse. Would be to God that we could see. It's better to know he's missing than to want him to be missing. Amen? There's a way to desire the presence of God. There's a way to want the presence of God. In Psalm 16, verse 11, these are familiar verses. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. How do you find that? Obviously, you have to be saved. You can't be revived unless you've been vived. Unto you which believe he is precious. And I know we can lose that preciousness, but I'm talking about when a person gets saved, whether he's religious, whether he's a maniac of Gadara, no matter what he is, when a person gets saved, it's a big deal. This is a big deal. I have a new life. I have a spiritual life. I'm going to heaven all because of Jesus Christ. That means something. Amen? I mean, there's nothing like new convert salvation because they get it. This is what I was. I was religious and I was dead and empty. And now I just want to live for him. It's such a blessing. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We love him because he first loved us. All of those verses are true the day we get saved. They're all true the minute we get saved. But the church at Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2, they had right doctrine. They worked. They were faithful. They did what they were supposed to do. They looked the way they were supposed to look. They said what they were supposed to say. But Jesus says to them in verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You've left your first love. If you can go back in your mind and say, boy, man, I'd do anything for him. I was so excited. I couldn't wait to go to church. I couldn't wait. And I was singing during the day. I mean, I saw lives changed. I was witnessing to people. It was so wonderful. And maybe the Lord says, thou hast left thy first love. So he tells them to repent, because you can get your first love back again. We have Matthew 24:12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Why did Adam and Eve hide from God? They had fellowshipped with him. God walked with them in the cool of the day. Fellowship. Here's God. Look what he made us, a paradise. This is wonderful. Why did they hide? Because they had sinned against God. Sin. Take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, cost you more than you want to pay. Your sin has separated between you and your God. That's what the Bible says. Whether it's pride, whether it's morals, no matter what it is, sin can separate us and grieve or quench the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is where we get our love and our peace and our joy. Matthew 24. James 4:8. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. The rest of the verse. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. But the prodigal got it. I'm leaving the hog pen. I'm going back to the Father's house. Amen. That's the road we need to be on. Proverbs 5:14. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and the assembly. Going to church doesn't mean we're not sinful. And if you give that road, if you start down that road, it just keeps headed in the wrong direction. Jeremiah 2:32, my people have forgotten me days without number. Life gets busy. What kept us, what got us great, keeps us great. What warmed our heart in the past warms our heart now. And if the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things choke the word, and the word is what we need to be on fire for God, then we ought to get rid of these things and have God. He's better than those things. Amen? Sin can grieve the Spirit, quench the Spirit. When the prodigal got tired of his sin and his distance from the Father, he started on the way home. He rehearsed a prayer. I'm just going to say this. When he got there, he started into this prayer. He started into this asking his Father. And his Father stopped him in the middle of it. You can read Luke 15. And they had a party. And the Bible says, and they began to be merry. It's back. Amen. How could my Father love me that much? He loved the Father now more than when he left, because he saw what God did for him. When Solomon saw the vanity of wealth and power and position, Ecclesiastes 2:17, therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous to me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. He found that, man, my life isn't in this. It's not in things. But he had to learn that. When Job was tired of being right, boy, this is a good one. Wish we had a couple hours to spend on this one. When Job was tired of being right, man, was he defensive. You ever been defensive? You ever think you're right and maybe you aren't right? You know, it's a possibility. It's a possibility. But anyway, God is right. He took 38 chapters to get that. He's arguing with his friends, and they didn't have it either. He started even arguing with God in chapter 38. But when Job got tired of being right, God, you're right. You tell me whatever you want to tell me. That's what he does. This isn't a preacher preaching, well, I think this is wrong with you. I have no idea what's wrong. Amen. I know what's wrong with me, and I ain't telling you what's wrong with me. I'm going to tell God what's wrong with me. And God speaks to me through his word. Amen. And so Job says, I am tired. I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Therefore I repent in dust and ashes. He says, I abhor myself. Man, what a change in Job, right? When he got tired of being right all the time. Just, I'm right. How could you ever think I was wrong, you know? When there's that humble spirit, that's such a blessing. When Job was tired of being right, when King David acknowledged his sin, look at Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Psalm 32 and Psalm 51 are called penitent psalms. David had sinned against God, and Psalm 31, he's asking forgiveness. There's some principles there in Psalm 52. It's the same thing. We won't read 52, but just a few verses in 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. A lot of sin there. Adultery, murder, drunkenness. He says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. It was bad. David is saying, it was bad in here. I did not have the joy. I did not have the peace. I was convicted because I had not asked for forgiveness. I hadn't repented in my life. But it goes on, he says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For all this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Isaiah 55:6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. He can be found. He can be found. And when we repent and when we ask for forgiveness, he does that. And he takes that guilt and that condemnation away. Psalm 52. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And what did God do for him when he confessed his sin? David said, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. God did all of that for David. The prodigal went away from the father until he came to himself. The prophet pronounced his woes against so many, Isaiah. I think there are 10 times. Woe unto you, woe unto them, woe unto you. I mean, over and over and over in the first 5 chapters of the book of Isaiah. You can read it and see. You come to chapter 6. Isaiah says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and I am a man of unclean lips. Woe is me. Woe is me. He finally saw his own sin rather than just condemning everybody else. It's like the Pharisee and the publican. God, I thank you. I'm not like that guy. Would to God you were. Would to God you were like that guy. Because then you could go home justified. With peace. With joy. With that excitement. The psalmist was envious at the foolish. Psalm 73. He was envious. Man, look at them. They've got more than heart could wish. That was their focus. That was the focus of their whole life. What a terrible thing. Because this is 70, maybe a little bit longer, maybe 80. But this is going to be over. Who cares about this? I care about that. Amen? And it says in Psalm 73, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Afterward, receive me to glory. Here it is, verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee? Wouldn't that be a blessing? Wouldn't that be a blessing to desire God like that? What do a screaming baby, a thirsty deer, and an Olympic sprinter have in common? They all provide active, vivid pictures of the desire that fuels our spiritual growth. The baby, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Newborn baby, you got to give it something to eat. You got to give it milk. It'll let you know. Amen? Hey, and I know it's only been an hour, but I want more, you know? I know it's only been 15 minutes, whatever it is, you know? Screaming baby, the thirsty deer, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after the living God. Man, wouldn't that be a blessing? You ever get so thirsty? I mean, thirsty, and that cold Coke? Man, there's nothing like a cold Coke when you're thirsty. Amen? Cold glass of water. Maybe you're thirsty right now. I am. But, I mean, you want to quench the thirst. Or a runner running a race. How they train, how they prepare all their life for one race. Because it's important. And the race we run is much more important than that race. Amen? R.C. Sproul wrote this, "The fundamental loss of a desire for God is the heart of original sin. The fundamental loss of a desire for God is the heart of original sin." God says something, his word is precious, but the devil comes along and gets us to not believe it or not obey it. And as by one man sin entered into the world, Adam, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. When we get saved, we are partakers of the divine nature. Praise God. But we still have the old nature. Galatians chapter 5, there's the old man and the new man. There's the old nature and the new nature. And they fight all the time. The flesh and the spirit fight. We desire God when the spirit's winning. Amen? Here's a black dog and here's a white dog. And they're going to fight. You know who's going to win? The one that you feed, not the one that you starve. You feed the black dog, guess what? The black dog's always going to win the battle. You feed the white dog's going to feed. Starve that black dog. I'm not being cruel to animals. It's an illustration. Amen? Starve the black dog. Starve that. Not that you can't enjoy. He's given us all things freely to enjoy. I mean, we have a great life. Amen? It's a blessing. But we need to have a passion, a desire for God. And if we have that, we'll spend time in his word, in his house, around his people, and we'll want to want it. We'll desire to desire it. There's a song, and one of the verses says, "The only fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him." It's all he wants. Just if you need him, I can do all things through Christ. If you've lost the axe head, if the excitement's gone, the desire to serve him, to be faithful, to just accomplish something for God in this life, find out where you left him. If it was maybe not, I'm not in the prayer closet anymore, I'm not reading the Bible anymore, I'm not faithful anymore, get back to that. And if you're all of those and you still don't have it, ask God to show you. Amen? Let's bow our heads, please. Father, help us. Help us, help us, help us. Minister to us today, Lord. We would see Jesus. We want to see you. We want to feel you. We want to hear you. May your voice be precious to us. May we all take today what you've spoken to us personally. And may we be faithful to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's